The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representative about any issues you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen or something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Jenna Yokoyama.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now with Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Joanne Hardesty hosts Voices from the Edge, progressive talk radio from a grassroots perspective. At 9 o'clock, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, we hear Press Watch again, investigative news radio this time, with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock, the guest on Between the Covers is Oregon writer Amber J. Kaiser. She talks about her new novel, The Way Back from Broken, which tells the story of two young people thrown together by shared tragedy who find healing in the Canadian wilderness. And at 11:30, it's The Film Show with S.W. Konzer and Jen Chavez. Thank you, members, for supporting KBOO Community Radio. If you are not a current member, it's a wonderful time of year to do so, and you can do it right now. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. Have a great evening.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to another edition of Block Report Radio on Freedom Now. I am the People's Minister of Information, JR. Today our guest is Bomani, formerly known as Keith Lamar. He is an Ohio death row political prisoner and survivor of the Lucasville Rebellion 23 years ago. He will talk to us about the history of that rebellion, the recent hunger strike that he came off of, and the state of Ohio planning to set his execution date and more. Bomani, how are you?
I'm doing all right, J.R. What about yourself, bro?
I'm good. I'm good. It's an honor to have you on, my brother.
I appreciate it.
No problem. Can you tell the people a little bit about the history of the Lucasville rebellions that went down 20-odd years ago?
A little over 23 years ago at the prison in Lucasville, Southern Ohio Correctional Facility in Southern Ohio, Muslim prisoners were having a dispute, a discrepancy with the warden over the administering of tuberculosis test. Apparently the test that they was using contained a serum, man, called fentanyl, which is the alcoholic substance. And, you know, based on the Islamic doctrine, the Muslims, SOCF, Sunni Muslims, were prohibited from ingesting this chemical. And so they tried to meet with the warden and come up with alternative ways to determine whether or not they had TB. And, you know, the warden at the time got an A-Arthur tape, real hardliner, decided, you know, to press their hand, even refused to give them alternative. And so the Muslims, you know, staged what they thought or what they expected to be a peaceful protest to try to garner outside attention and hopefully, you know, pressure the administration to give them this alternative. But, you know, at the time, back in 1993, this was before Mike Brown, before, you know, Eric Gardner, and this before this, like, public unrest or whatnot, you know. So racism was very rampant down at the penitentiary. Guys were being beaten, bullied, and moved from here and there. And so when the Muslims took over the prison, took the keys, unlocked doors, you know, they really unleashed years and years of pent-up rage, man, and things very quickly got out of hand, ultimately ended with 9 inmates being killed, 1 guard being murdered, and, you know, that brought down the, you know, the weight of the state on all levels, man. Guys who were, you know, even had any kind of radical leanings were basically put front and center and used as scapegoats to send a message throughout the system for anybody who by rebellion, thinking about, you know, going against the administration. So, you know, guys were singled out whether or not they actually had anything to do with the riot. Anybody who was considered, you know, strong politically, physically, or whatever inside the prison, yeah, guys were singled out and, you know, were basically made examples of. I was one of those guys. You know, they came to me trying, I was 23 years old at the time. They wanted me to cop up, wanted me to become an informant because the block wherein all the snitches were allegedly murdered was the block that I happened to be assigned to by the administration. That was the pod that I lived in at the time. And so, you know, they suspected that I knew more than I, you know, divulged and, you know, wanted me to become an informant. I refused, wanted me to accept the deal. I refused. You know, I went to trial, got, you know, railroaded. They took my case to All-White County near Lucasville, railroaded me, put me on death row. And flash forward 20 years, I've been solitary confinement since 1993. And for the past 18 years, I've been at the Ohio State Penitentiary in Youngstown, Ohio, Supermax facility, similar to the Supermax facility you guys got out there in California, Pelican Bay. And so I've been in lockdown 23 hours a day here for over the past 23 years. Just recently, my appeal was denied, moving me one step closer to execution. And just a few weeks ago, a new warden was appointed here and came in without, you know, speaking with us, without, you know, figuring out what was the lay of the land, was just basically talking about stripping us of some of our privileges, particularly our CDs and books. And so CDs and books, you know, under the circumstances are, you know, essential to maintaining your mental emotional equilibrium, man. So, you know, I wasn't going to allow myself to be left in this cell, you know, looking at the walls without anything to help me cope with the daily, you know, like mind-numbing pressure that you are under these type of circumstances, man. And so, you know, I decided to go on a hunger strike because basically they didn't, you know, push me to the edge, you know, the brink of my existence, man. And this final move was, I think, something, not, I won't say designed, because I don't think the warden gave any thought to, you know, how I would respond or react to his decision. I think, you know, these people that make all these policies sitting in their office without any sense of how it would impact the people that they're imposing these. But that's how power operates. They don't have any, you know, thoughts, you know, about how, you know, the policies and practices will affect real everyday people. And at some level, I don't think they give a damn. You know, I wasn't going to let allow these people to push me off the planet, put me in a position where, you know, I'm constantly worried about my mental stability and whatnot. And so I went on a hunger strike, and, you know, the hunger strike ended a couple of days ago. I met with the warden, and he agreed that he had jumped the gun and also agreed that we would be allowed to, you know, keep our books and CDs and a few other things that, you know, have to be worked out in the near future in terms of moving us to a less disruptive living situation, you know, because we're long-term prisoners. We would have to file another lawsuit in order to have the state alleviate the situation that we're in. But in the meantime, we asked them to be moved to a separate pod, a less disruptive pod. You know, since we've been here for the duration and for the foreseeable future, we'll still be here. And so, yeah, you know, the hunger strike came to, I guess you can say, a peaceful resolution. You know, we was able to keep our CDs and books and, you know, as well as other, you know, additional extended property, you know, limits that we were afforded back in 2011. So that's basically the gist of it, bro. You know, we've been struggling since 1993, you know, trying to bring our case to the court of public opinion. I wrote a book, as you know, Condemned, you know, trying to tell my story, you know, from my perspective and trying to get people a more in-depth, you know, understanding of what actually occurred and what's still occurring right now in terms of the oppression, the repression. You know, we was trying to do interviews with the media. You know, they blocked those, so we filed a lawsuit to try to get the media in here so we can tell our side of the story, you know, because, you know, from the very beginning, that's been the whole modus operandi of the state, you know, suppress, you know, the truth and present only what they want the public to, you know, to believe. And that, again, is, you know, how power operates. You know, it's only, it's one-sided. Mainstream media tell their side of the story about what's going on here with Michael Brown, what's going on in Missouri, what's going on in the Middle East, all said from, you know, the people in power position. So, you know, we're just trying to, well, I'm personally trying to fight against that, trying to stand up and represent myself as best as I can, you know, given my limitations.
Brother Bomani, where is your case at right now? And I know that the government is intending to try to assassinate you if us, right, if we, the people, do not get involved in a big way. Tell us a little bit about those plans.
Well, my case was just heard at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is basically my last shot at relief. They denied my appeal about a month ago, even though you know, 100-some people attended my oral arguments and witnessed with their own eyes, you know, the weakness of the state's case against me. They fabricated evidence. They hid evidence. And, you know, they couldn't even defend their position. Yet still, you know, the three judges who presided over my hearing came back with a negative ruling, denied my appeal. And right now, I'm basically out of gas with respect to the legal situation. We're exploring options in terms of getting new counsel because my attorneys, this case that I, you know, got caught up in, the situation that I got caught up in was very political. And even my own attorneys, you know, I think bowed to the pressure and, you know, didn't fully represent my issues in the way that they should have been represented. So we're trying to explore the options of getting an attorney outside of the state to hopefully, you know, without any influence by the political pressure of the state, you know, to like present my issues the way they should be presented. But barring that, you know, I might receive an execution date sometime in the near future. You know, what we've been trying to do on the grassroots level is
You have 1 minute remaining.
You know, we're starting a Twitter campaign. There's a documentary out called Condemned. You can go to my website, KeithLamar.org, to view that. I've written a book, you know, Condemned by Keith Lamar. You can go to my website again on Amazon to obtain a copy of that. And so we're just trying to do it on our own, if nothing else, you know, since if I'm executed to be done in the public's name, we're trying to get the public to be aware of what's being done in their name, that this is a travesty of justice that's being, you know, perpetrated in their name. And we're just asking people, just normal everyday people, you know, to get involved, you know, to wake up and realize that the system is basically a sham and that it's, you know, unduly, you know, focused on poor, marginalized people, and that, you know, in order for us to really address things in a way that need to be addressed, more people need to become aware, need to wake up. And so I'm just trying to do that in addition to working with youth, you know, trying to get them to see that the system is rigged, that, you know, it's a trap, you know, that...
Thank you for using Global Tellink. Thank you for using Global Tellink.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we're just trying to, you know, bring awareness to the public, trying to get them to, you know, participate in this process. You know, it's been a lot of protests going on across the country on college campuses, in the street. A brother just was recently murdered by police in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You know, again, man, it's just an ongoing thing where, you know, black, you know, particularly black men and poor people in general, man, are being oppressed and just slaughtered by the system. And, you know, I'm a part of that. You know, what's going on with me, even though, you know, I've been afforded a trial, you know, it's basically more pretense than an actual trial or actual, you know, justice that's being delivered in these cases, man. And so we're just trying to put it all together and show that it's all connected. It all stems from the same thing, you know, racism, oppression, and, you know, the unequal distribution of wealth and all those things, you know, that every poor person is suffering from. It's all coming from the same place. We all have the same struggle, the same enemy, if, you know, you want to call them that, you know, adversary, whatever you want to look at it. It's the same people.
for people specifically across the nation here on the West Coast, if they want to assist you and or communicate with you, how could they do that?
Well, like I say, you know, I have a website, KeithLamar.org. Also on Facebook, just for Keith Lamar, starting a Twitter campaign, trying to, you know, raise awareness through that avenue, trying to use this technology to our benefit, trying to become a part of that mainstream process, you know. But, yeah, go to my website, KeithLamar.org, and from there you will find, you know, how to contact me directly here at Ohio State Penitentiary. And what we're trying to do, that is me and my, you know, small network of people, friends and family are trying to do to bring my case to a larger audience. But again, as I say, JR, my situation might not be able to prevent these people from killing me, murdering me. Mike Brown wasn't able to stop them from murdering him. Eric Gardner wasn't. So it's not always, you know, that we will be able to stop these people from murdering us. They've been killing niggers in this country for centuries. I don't think that they have any intentions on stopping that anytime soon unless we demand that it be stopped. And I think, you know, that part of what we have to do, a large part of what we have to do as individuals and collectively is just, you know, keep standing up to these people, even if we, you know, must die in the process, even if we must give a lives in the process, you know, we have to still stand up because it's the right thing to do. And this other young man that's, you know, looking at us, that's coming behind us, could know that it's not really about whether or not you get killed, but whether or not you had the courage to stand up and live, you know. And so that's basically what I'm trying to do with my life. I'm trying to use my life as an example for these younger cats who are looking at me, who are coming behind me, just to understand that you have to stand up. You have to say no when you're being led down a road that you don't want to go down. You have to stop. You have to resist, and you can do that even if it means losing your life, because at the end of the day, they only can kill you one time, right. You know, but you can die over and over again if you keep bowing down to this pressure. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, brother, we salute you. Thank you, brother, and much love to you. You were just listening to the voice of Bomani, formerly known as Keith Lamar, an Ohio death row political prisoner and survivor of the Lucasville Rebellion 23 years ago. He talked about the history of that rebellion, the recent hunger strike that he came off of, and the state of Ohio planning to set his execution date. If you would like to hear more, you can go to blockreportradio.com.